Well, let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. I'm Rob Panier, joined once again by my good buddy Kevin Lucco. And there's really no more exciting news going on around baseball than to hear that the American Association is about to get underway, Kevin.
Yeah, it was, as we call in the business, it was a classic Friday news drop. We know it's kind of notorious in when there's big news. They like to kind of drop it on Friday night, especially when it's going to be maybe not so good news for a certain segment, which we'll get to in a moment here.
Well, the news release was put out a little after 4 o'clock this afternoon, Central Time, released by the American Association. We're going to highlight the main details about it. It starts with the fact that this will be a 16 league played in three different cities. That will be Milwaukee, which will also host the Chicago Dogs, Sioux Falls, which will also host the St. Paul Saints, and Fargo, which will host also host the Winnipeg Goldeyes. The 60-game schedule will begin on July 3rd, ending, if I remembered correctly, September 10th. That's what we're looking at. And there will be a five-game American Association finals pitting the top two teams in the regular season against one another. The schedule itself will not be released until Monday, so we have to wait that out right now. What this will mean is that six teams will not be participating in the league this season, which will include Sioux City, Gary, Lincoln, Kansas City, and both Texas teams, Cleburne and the Texas AirHogs, will be out. The league has announced that there will be no rules on minimums in terms of veterans, LS, or need for even having rookies. And it will also, those players that have already been signed by any of the other six teams that will not be participating in the league this year will be made available through a draft for the six participating teams to kind of get the best talent out there on the field. So a lot to kind of dissect through there, Kevin.
Oh, where do you want to start?
Well, let's first of all start with the location of the three cities. About no more than 9 hours apart for any one of those. About 3.5 hours from Sioux Falls to Fargo. Not going to toot the horn too much on this, but it sounds like an idea that somebody had a couple of months ago.
Now, who was that?
Well, I had kind of pitched the idea of playing in you know, a couple of different cities, two or three cities that weren't very far away from each other, you know, and kind of just running the league
right from
there. So this worked out for him. You know, I'm not taking any credit for this. This is the work of Josh Schaub and the 12 owners out there to make this happen. Josh Buchholz as well. I don't mean to leave him out. They made this happen. So, but let's talk about the three cities. So Fargo, Sioux Falls, Milwaukee. What kind of jumped out at me about those, Kevin, was three completely different ballparks in terms of the way the games played there.
Right. Too bad it wasn't going to be a full season, or you could see the Saints potentially having some record home run numbers playing a lot of their games in a small ballpark in Sioux Falls. But, you know, the point I want to make right now is, and everybody in the league knows this, the visitors' clubhouse in Sioux Falls is deplorable. I am hoping that the fact that they have to host two teams on a semi-full-time basis, I would throw out the idea that maybe they end up having like a makeshift clubhouse brought in so that you can have a dedicated clubhouse and actually have some room to it. Otherwise, while you're going to have a pretty crabby Saints ball club if their home clubhouse is the current visitor's house in Sioux Falls. I know right now we should be saying, well, they should be lucky playing baseball, but it's inevitable. It's human nature that, you know, it's not the best conditions for the road team. I've seen both clubhouses. The Canaries do have a nice clubhouse. They've done a good job at that. But I hope that they do something to make the comfort level better for the teams that are going to be coming in, and especially when everyone talks about the social distancing thing, the visitors clubhouses in Sioux Falls is just the opposite of that.
Well, I wonder, Kevin, if, you know, you figure that St. Paul would always keep that visitor clubhouse. Because when they're facing St. Paul, because when they're facing Sioux Falls, they'd be the visitor. You know, and regardless, they can still be the visitor. And when teams come to play them, and the Canaries are out of town, that team could just take the home locker room if that could be accommodated out there. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the Saints kind of set up something for themselves to give themselves a bit more room, give manager George Samis and his staff a little bit more accommodating facilities for, a manager's office and some things like that. So you might be onto something right there where the team is already kind of thinking along the same lines as you and is setting something up to make sure they have a comfortable 42 games there in Sioux Falls.
Potential 42 games. That's the thing we've got to think about too, is that it's not etched in stone that the whole season is going to be played there. There is a chance that Decatur Walls of Minnesota will finally loosen things up enough where the Saints can get back to their home ballpark.
Well, the interesting thing for me of the choice of ballparks will be you have a brand new ballpark in Milwaukee. You have Sioux Falls looking to get a brand new ballpark, and you have Fargo that, an older stadium, but one of the premier stadiums in all of minor league baseball. And I'm wondering if, if they're able to get some kind of more national exposure through TV contracts or whatever out there. It's going to be interesting to see if the league tries to showcase Milwaukee and even Fargo maybe a little bit more just because of the ballparks themselves.
Well, they could, and the good thing with both of those markets is that the setup for TV there is pretty good. Sioux Falls would be the park that would need some work, and when you got teams that are going to be hubbed outside of their regular homes, obviously their fans back home are going to want to see the games, so it's kind of imperative that the league gives them a good online presence in order to watch your games. I know that was a lot of the talk today on Saints Live was what's the status of the games, because right now St. Paul fans that don't get to the ballpark are used to watching games on cable access. So I think a lot of them don't even know that there isn't like a league-wide streaming service. So, but it's imperative, I think, to get that streaming service situated well in Sioux Falls so that fans in St. Paul can see their team play and they can't make the trip out.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the rosters for teams. Looks like we're still going to be somewhere around a 23 man roster. No specific mention was made of how many players would be on teams, but the waiving of the veteran and LS rules I thought was huge. You have six teams that already have a lot of veterans that are not going to be playing for those teams this season, so you open up a big market for that, plus all these minor leaguers that have been released over the last couple of weeks. Man, can you see 20, 21 guys that have been AAA and above playing for some of these teams out there?
Yeah, that's going to be the neat thing, is that the quality of baseball is going to be better than ever in the league, but it does take away a little bit of the strategy of trying to find effective rookies and LS1s, but I think right now it's crucial that they put the best possible baseball product out there right now, and then when things get back normal next year, then we can get back more into the strategizing of how good your rookies are and how you're procuring them.
Well, I think it was a pretty brilliant choice on the choice of cities. If St. Paul is able to open up and play, 3,000 fans or something at some point here as the summer's going along, you're not really making anybody altered in pathway. And anybody who was playing in Fargo is traveling down through St. Paul to head for Milwaukee anyway. So, it's not like it's a big change in Chicago. You're looking at a couple hours down the road from Milwaukee. So, I mean, I think that was a pretty good choice to keep this. Should those stadiums open, you're going to have these guys that are able to return back to their home parks, and there's not going to be much of a logistical change to making that happen. So, for players out there that are thinking, "Wow, where should I sign?" I wonder if that winds up playing a part. You may not like necessarily the fact that Sioux Falls is kind of a tough ballpark to pitch in, but you may also be looking at, well, if I could wind up in St. Paul a month from now and playing there, maybe I do that. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic in how players sign, I think, Kevin.
Yeah, hopefully hopefully prospective pitchers from St. Paul don't know much about Tim Walz. So.
Yeah, let's hope so. Definitely. 60-game schedule, according to the league, 42 games of those, the team would be staying at their quote-unquote home ballpark. So you're only, basically 9 games heading to, if you're in the Fargo area, you're heading 9 games to Sioux Falls, 9 games to Milwaukee. I think that was really smart thinking on that part too, to keep down the travel and keep guys out of hotels and constantly having to, worry about whatever, potential health risk that you put in play there. Very, very smart thinking on that part, I would say. Also, it looks like according to all of the fans letting in, a lot of people are going to want to know, are there going to be fans at these games? The reason these three cities were chosen was because there is some, a little bit more lax, it sounds like, in terms of what fans are allowed to do and how many fans are allowed at these ballparks. So I think we're going to get pretty decent crowds then, Kevin.
Yeah, well, it's especially in Milwaukee, if the Brewers aren't playing, Milwaukee's a strong baseball market, and this is a golden opportunity for the Milkmen to get themselves entrenched in the culture of Milwaukee baseball and say, hey, we're here, come out and see games, and with the higher quality of players that are going to be in the league, I think it's going to be a tremendous showcase for the Milkmen. And plus, with the field they got, too, that field with the field turf, they'll be able to withstand all the extra games, too. That's something we've got to factor in, too, is that there's going to be a lot of games played on these fields, and it's going to be a real test for the grounds crews in Fargo, Sioux Falls, and to an extent in Milwaukee to keep the fields looking good.
Well, I don't think that's really going to be a problem, Kevin, because it's not, I would assume by the way the schedule is going to be made that, like let's say for example, Chicago and Milwaukee are not both going to be playing home games in Milwaukee on the same day. I would assume that.
Do we know that though?
Okay, I don't know that for sure, but I would assume that they're not going to say, okay, because what you would have to do in that case is you not only have to have prepped the field for another game, but think about all the cleansing of the locker rooms for the next game to happen. And I wonder if they're just going to say to themselves, hey, look, let's, if Fargo is technically away, well, Winnipeg can be at home because the visiting team that comes in gets the locker room. They don't have to worry about, a major cleanup being done in an hour or something to get another game up for that afternoon. So I wonder if they will just say is that when Chicago's out of town, Milwaukee's the home team there, and when Chicago comes back, then Milwaukee heads out. I mean, that would seem to be the most logical thing to do here.
Yeah, well, it's all what comes out of the magic of Josh Buchholz and his pencil.
Yes.
You got to imagine maybe by this time he's probably broke a few of them out of frustration, but yeah, I think we'll know more about by Monday, as you're saying, when the schedule comes out.
I want to say, too, I think something that, you were talking about, what a golden opportunity this is for Milwaukee. What a golden opportunity this is for Chicago as well. It's not a very far, long drive for people to come from Chicago to head up to Milwaukee to catch the dogs. So this is an opportunity for them to get some attention, too.
And we all know the rivalry in the major leagues between the Cubs and the Brewers. So it'd be nice as often those two teams are going to have to play against each other, because that's another thing we got to point out, too, is that the Saints and the Cub teams are going to be playing against each other more than they are the rest of the league, if from what I saw.
So the way it looks.
So, yeah, that just helps further build the rivalry between the Milkmen and the Dogs, and wow, imagine the extra Gold Eyes versus Red Hawks games. Well, that's already a rivalry to start with, and then you get them around each other a lot during the summer. It could be some interesting baseball there.
And Sioux Falls has not had the best of seasons the last few years, but they have sure been a thorn in the side of the St. Paul Saints for the last three or four years, since Mike Myers has been the manager there. So, a lot of interesting dynamics, I think, that are going to come out of the games that are between the two hub teams. So that should be pretty exciting. I think that's going to be some exciting stuff out there. Well, we're going to be waiting on to see when that schedule comes out on Monday and exactly how that winds up working out there. It's a great opportunity for the players that would have been at Cleburne or Sioux City or something. to still get an opportunity to play this summer. We do need to mention that there are going to be some managers, some play-by-play guys, some staff out there that are not going to have jobs this summer. Dan Vaughn is laid off already, and I'm hearing Connor Ryan and the Sioux City Explorers coaching staff up there has already been taken care of by John Roos. Doesn't surprise me. But, you know, I'm kind of wondering what's going to be going on in some of these other cities. And so we got to remember that as happy as we are for six teams, we're a little sad for the other six.
That was my thoughts right away was I was hoping there was going to be like six hubs and all 12 teams going. And then when I saw that six were not going to make it, my thoughts right away were with our good friend Dan Vaughn and Brad Allred and Denny Gehrig and
Laura Hoover, brand new. And
yeah, I feel really bad for her. This was going to be her opportunity to get her feet wet professionally, and now she's not going to get that opportunity. Next time she's on, we're just going to tell her that she jinxed it.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you can count on us.
Get Michael Dixon
to link
in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. Five teams from the South. We lose Tim Costello, unfortunately.
Right. Can't forget Tim either.
Tim was doing great stuff down there, and six teams are going to be playing. Let's say there's 25 guys. I'm just going to throw that number out. I don't know exactly what they're going to have for roster sizes, but you're looking at another, you know, 120 players aren't going to have a team to be playing for this summer either, too. So, we don't want to forget those guys out there that have been such a big part of the league itself. And, you know, we hope that everything is back to normal next year and we see all those teams again and all those play-by-play guys, all those managers. We'll miss them.
Yeah, I can't explain how tough that's going to be. I'm kind of speechless at this point for us. Especially as hard as Connor and Dan and Brad and Denning work to promote their teams, just have that taken away for the summer is just sad.
You mentioned Laura. Laura had been really reaching out to get more involved in the league and to get it, you know, get jumping right in, you know, feet first. And Tim Costello was doing a bunch of stuff to really hype up the Air Hogs this year. And, you know, Michael Dixon is always has kind of interesting trivia questions out there on Twitter about stuff from last year. So. I'm gonna miss those guys a lot for sure. For fans out there who are kind of wondering what in the heck is going on behind Kevin there, Kevin is not pummeling somebody behind him. Kevin is actually already out there getting a little baseball in tonight.
I am in paradise. It took me about 2 hours and 40 minutes to drive from my home, but there is one single amateur town ball game taking place tonight. I'm in St. Martin, Minnesota, which is like a half an hour southwest of St. Cloud for those that travel the 94 strip on the American Association travels. And the St. Martin Martins have decided that they have a privately owned ballpark. They're going to defy the governor's orders, and they are going to start play tonight. This is the first and only amateur game going on in the state of Minnesota.
And getting a bit of attention.
Yes, I talked to the manager as I came in because I need to know where the heck to park my car. But he said he's going to be on WCCO radio later on tonight with Mike Max. Mike Max is, for people in Minnesota, he was the guy that was all over the place reporting on the riots. But Mike Max has a deep roots in town balls, we call it here. So Mike Max is going to have their manager on at 7:30. And renowned baseball writer Patrick Royce is also making a trip out here to catch the game. So it's going to be interesting. They're going to try to socially distance. They've already moved a set of bleachers from by the dugout out towards outfield. But with all the publicity this is getting, they were talking about on KFAN on my way out.
Wow.
It's going to be interesting to see what kind of crowd they draw. I mean, it is a bit of a drive, so we'll see if people are willing to drive it. In other words, we're going to see if people are as crazy as I am. But it's funny, as I was talking to the manager, I wish I would have got his name. He goes, yeah, we're going to take batting practice in a little while. I said, well, you know what, that's going to be the perfect backdrop to doing our podcast. And frankly, the crack of the bat's going to be music to my ears at this point.
Well, the American Association, not the only news to talk about in terms of baseball, besides the Pecos League, which we talked about last week, which gets underway on July 1st. The Sugarland Skeeters jumping out of the Atlantic League this year and kind of starting their own little deal down there in near Houston, Kevin.
Yeah, they're going to have four teams that consist of former major leaguers, current minor leaguers, and independent players. So now that makes me wonder if you're going to see some of the guys that are kind of more localized to Cleburne and Grand Prairie, will they opt to go play in that instead of moving to the North Division or to the American Association playing up north? So that's going to be also be something to keep your eye on. We don't know what they have as far as the salary cap or how the players are going to be compensated, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as just picking the best players off of other teams. I think these guys are going to have options, and it's not a bad option. It's a Sugarland's an Atlantic League baseball stadium, and not a bad place to spend your summer. So,
absolutely, Houston, beautiful area down there, and you know, Roger Clemens and his son Cody are going to be managing one team. Pete Incaviglia, a guy well known in the American Association, managing another one of those teams. So there's going to be some quality talent down there. And I think a lot of guys who are at double or triple A level and are going to get an opportunity to play with some former major leaguers are going to say, man, I should give this a shot because, you know, I'm going to be facing people that I could potentially be facing should I make it to the major leagues one day. So it's a great audition, I would think, for a lot of those guys.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to factor into their respective decisions, and also if they live down there. This news is just kind of fresh to us as we're recording this. The news is only about a few hours old, and I just imagined it. You'd hope the players that were going to play for the teams that aren't going to be in the league, I hope they didn't go out and get leases for apartments. I hope they were kind of just told to hang tight and wait for something official. So
that sounds
like
one,
Rob, I tell you what, this is probably the most flooring news, single news item to come out since probably the split of the Northern League in 2005.
It's a bit surreal right now, Kevin. I'm not going to deny with you. We also did want to give a little dap to the Texas Collegiate League, which will be playing. Taking over some minor league stadiums, the Amarillo's new ballpark, Frisco, Tulsa, Round Rock, and San Antonio, joining Acadiana, I hope I'm saying that right, Brazos Valley, Texarkana, and Victoria to have a little 10-team league down there of Texas collegiate players. So there's going to be a lot of baseball down there in Texas, it sounds like, Kevin.
Right. I'll tell you what, there's getting into the time of year where it can be some pretty hot nights down there, so we'll see what the guys are getting into down there.
We won't say it on the air, but Josh Robertson had a description for the heat down in Texas. We won't mention that, though. Go ahead.
I can only imagine.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting summer on that front, and you just kind of wonder, what are they going to do with that league? Is it going to be more like scrimmages? Is point streak involved where the statistics will be registered and they'll be on players' career stats? So, there's a lot more to it than just saying, well, we're going to have a league, come play for us. So, these guys want a resume, and you just hope that this league in Sugarland, that they'll take it serious enough where they're going to register player statistics and I have a championship too, where it's going to be worthwhile.
Well, we did want to mention that this news was catching everybody out there. It was on Fox Sports. It was Baseball America had a big story about it. A thing Baseball America I just want to mention out here is the Atlantic League and the Frontier League still intend to try to do something. We don't know what that's going to look like right now, but according to the article I'm looking at right here, they still would like to get some kind of a season going up here. So I'm believing, Kevin, now that the American Association has kind of leapt out there, that if these teams are going to do something, they're just days away from coming up with a plan as well.
Right. You wonder if there's a similar plan in place, too, because it just seems like when one domino falls with that, the others kind of fall into place the same way, too, where maybe they're going to say, hey, let's try that pod thing ourselves. So. I mean, it's tricky with the Frontier League too, when you got the teams in Canada. Obviously, the league's going to have to shrink a bit. So, I don't know. Could be seeing a six-team league in the Frontier League too. So, stay tuned on that one.
It could be, and it's going to be interesting to see how they adjust their rules. They already had to make some roster adjustments because of incorporating the Can-Am League into there. This is a league that has kind of prided itself on choosing younger players that weren't as expensive and creating a really good product out there. And I wonder, do they kind of throw that out the window and try to jump out there for some big-time vets, or do they just stay with this formula that's been working and try to get, if the American Association has a ton of, LS1 and rookie guys that are all of a sudden available, that might be a golden opportunity for them to get a chance to play in the Frontier League.
I think that would be a good route for the Frontier League to take, too, where you're not paying the veteran wages either. So it wouldn't be a bad idea for them to kind of get back to their roots and be more of a development league as opposed to what the other independent leagues have become.
Atlantic League, we're still waiting out, but obviously with Sugarland jumping out, probably not a big disappointment to the Atlantic League in terms of travel to not have to send their teams out to Houston to play. So probably nobody's, crying over that decision. But, that's kind of a little bit of a spread out league there too, down the East Coast there. So I think you're probably onto something there that they might go down to three hubs and just play out a six or eight team league or something from there. So
well, they were already going to have a road team in that league. So with Sugarland ducking out, I'm sure they'll just get rid of the road team and go with the six team league. And yeah, maybe we're going to see that too, where there's going to be the three hub cities in that league also.
Well, it's an exciting time. And Kevin and I will have Jack Michaels, play-by-play guy there for the fabulous Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks this week, coming up there, and I'm sure Jack's going to have a whole lot more information for us. I think, Kevin, because we're going to have a lot of these play-by-play guys looking for something to do, we might have to expand the show a little bit to let some of these other guys come in and talk some baseball with us.
Well, yeah, definitely. Got to keep them involved somehow. And what do all three hub cities have in common?
Original independent teams, but like first year or two, aren't they all?
Well, much like Cliff Clavin said when on his Jeopardy question, when he asked...
three people that have been in my kitchen?
Yes. Rob Pineer has not been in any of the three ballparks. So
no, I have not. That. And that will change. As a matter of fact, I will be opening the season in Milwaukee on July 3rd. So you will definitely have me there. And then I will be making a road trip up through Sioux Falls and then on to Fargo to get that action in probably early August. Moving is going to be occurring during the month of August as well. So I will actually not have a Sparta drive after getting myself situated in Iowa. So that will be nice for me.
Yeah, well, boy, good foresight on your part to move north.
Yeah,
this will be the summer for it. And the good thing, Rob, is that you got me to lean on for any questions on how to kill an afternoon in Milwaukee, Sioux Falls, or Fargo.
Oh, you better believe I'll be leaning on that.
It might not be good answers, but there'll be answers.
Because we all know that Kevin has been the star of the show since its induction a few years ago, and that he's got all the inside track info, including best restaurants and places to hang out. No doubt about it.
Maybe this was the summer Dan Vaughn can work on his book, because he was going to do a book on the best places to eat in all of minor league baseball from all of his travels.
Kevin, a thought just crossed my mind that as we've had the big In-N-Out Whataburger dispute all season long, I don't think you've ever thrown out your two cents about who's the best there. What's all that about? Who's the top dog in the top burger in Kevin's wheelhouse?
Okay, to me, it's apples and oranges. I know it's the easy way out, but Whataburger reminds me of a lot of like Burger King. I know Brad Allred will slap me for that, but it just seems like the style of burger is similar. And In-N-Out was a decent burger. I It's tough for me because I had In-N-Out Burger last summer in Vegas, but I hadn't had a Whataburger since, I believe, 2014 in Phoenix. So probably not your best judge. So give me a Culver's Butterburger over any of them. You're going to have to check that out, Rob.
I like Culver's. I'm not going to deny that. Being in Minnesota there, I ate at Culver's quite a bit because they make quite a burger there. Love it.
I'm going to have to try to get out to Milwaukee when you're out there at some point if you do a second trip. Won't be able to do it right away with work, but I know I always go to Gilly's Custard Stand. It's like the original Milwaukee Custard Stand. It's where the former commissioner of baseball used to always go for lunch every day, and it's time-honored tradition, Milwaukee.
Well,
maybe that's what we'll have to do on one of these season preview shows is just take we'll take one of the three hub cities, do it like next 3 weeks, and I will give my what-to-do list there so that listeners and whoever else might want to come up to catch games will have something to do on their afternoon off.
We could do it live from some kind of restaurant. They won't know we're doing it, and we're probably like, who are those two idiots over there? But, you know, hey, we'll do it anyway. So, you know, we're not afraid. So are we going to make some waitress or waiter out there a household name? Hey, we got Sylvia helping us here today. So she'll be loving that, I'm sure. Well, I'm going to be up there in Milwaukee that first weekend to get a little action into. So that should be. I'm excited, Kevin. This has changed my summer in a very short period of time, I have to honestly say. So this is pretty exciting. What are your thoughts? I mean, the one thing I think that obviously, besides the fact of losing six teams, I feel badly for those guys. It's kind of tough that the St. Paul Saints are the champions of the league and not even playing their, defending their title in their home ballpark all year.
They may not even get a chance to raise the banner in their own ballpark.
No, you're absolutely right. So, wow. Will we have two banner raisings next year? Could that mean that? You know, 'cause the Saints
could very possibly be, yes. And that's too bad, too, because I got a feeling there'll be, this year there'll be some guys that are left over from the 2019 team that would like to see the banner raised in person. But, boy, if you end up the whole year in Sioux Falls, then you're less and less likely to have that much turnover again in another season. So we'll see how that goes. The point I was making... I don't know if Sean Aaronson saw this or not, but for those that have followed him and the Saints and Sioux Falls for years, Sean made some very pointed comments about the lack of stuff to do in Sioux Falls, and he got a media member over there, Courtney Collin, very upset, and we dug into Courtney Collin's Twitter account, and found that she spent a lot of time in Minnesota, but she's telling us how great Sioux Falls is, but I thought, with Sean being out there for a little chunk of the summer, what a great opportunity for Courtney Collin to take him under her wing and show him all the great things that Sioux Falls has to offer.
We have to. We're calling on her to do it. She should definitely teach that there's great stuff in Sioux Falls to do.
You know, they are in good terms. But she did go on the air with them the following season, and they kind of a make-up deal. So they're on good terms. So, maybe it could turn to a video series where Courtney shows Sean everything Sioux Falls has to offer, and they'll be on Saints Live. So we'll see.
We also want to throw something out for just so fans know out there. Kevin and I had actually recorded this week in the association at about 1 o'clock this afternoon, and then this news came out, and so I postponed putting the show out. But something that Kevin had mentioned earlier when him and I were doing the show earlier today was that Fargo, because of the shortened season, is not going to celebrate their 25th season. Let's talk a little bit about that, Kevin, because this should have been kind of a big deal for Fargo, but it's going to be a delayed big deal, I guess.
Yeah, there was an article in their local paper talking about Chris Coast and memories of the inaugural 1996 team. And within that article, Bruce Thom had a quote in there that said that they are not going to have the festivities that they originally planned for their anniversary season. You know, and I can see that too, because I'm sure they have their whole promotional schedule banked around, well, now you got fewer days, and they're going to bag everything till next year and do a celebration when, gosh, we hope everything's back to normal again.
Understandable. And you were mentioning during that time that, you know, 25th anniversary seasons haven't gone particularly well for teams, so this might be a good choice of theirs.
Yes. It's been a jinx. St. Paul celebrated theirs in 2017 and had their great collapse in the second half, the only year at CHS Field in which they have not made the playoffs.
The only year at CHS Field they haven't made the playoffs, as a matter of fact.
Yes. And Winnipeg had theirs the next year and had one of the worst years in franchise history. So yeah, it was kind of a curse. You know, if I was Fargo, maybe you'd do the celebration this year on the like what would to someone might be deemed a wasted season.
Well, you're definitely probably looking at that a silver season isn't turning out gold for anybody. So, you know, that definitely means you discreetly mentioned this is the 25th anniversary if you wind up winning it all and say, hey, we blew off the curse. But if you don't, then you say, okay, well, next year it'll be it. So it's disappointing. I feel bad for Fargo fans because that was probably going to be a huge amount of stuff they were going to have going on this year. And now, you know, it's kind of delayed. And Jack will talk with us about that on this week, I'm sure. So
I don't know if you're hearing that in the background. They're playing Cheap Seats by Alabama. It's just kind of like a minor league baseball national anthem. I tell you, it is so damn good to hear that at the ballpark again.
Are there tears in your eye right now? Come on, admit it. Got mustered up a little tears? He's not going to tell me. That's what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, man, I know you got to have a great final thought for us today.
Well, my final thought is, I think there was some song that said, "Summer is ready when you are." Well, we have a schedule. We know what's going on. Granted, it's not the ultimate situation, but we have resolution. We have a baseball season starting at the beginning of July. I got to say, I'm a little disappointed that it's only going to go through early September. I was really looking forward to those late September regular season games. But I can understand they're not going to be that great of a draw. But, you know, for your markets that aren't going to have baseball, go out and support your amateur teams. The beer is just as cold, the brats taste just as good, and it'll probably be a lot cheaper than the ballpark. And for folks in Lincoln, Gary, Kansas City, Leeburn, Sioux City, Grand Prairie, gosh, I feel horrible for you guys. Hope you can find some fun with your summer, and we'll see you back in 2021.
I hope so, too. And I'm looking forward to I can go to Milwaukee and have a hot dog with ketchup on it and not create an international incident, I'm thinking, Sarah. So I'm gonna ride on that, too, Kevin. My final thought is
Secret Stadium talks.
I will. I'm going to do that for sure. And my final thought for this week is play ball. That's what I'm looking for. So
amen.
For Kevin Luco, I am Rob Panier, and we will see you next time on This Week in the Association.